This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
And away we go with The Adam Ritz Show. My name is Adam Ritz, and Jay Baker in studio with me, Jay. Always a pleasure to see your smiling face.
Well, it's great to see you as well, Adam. And as you and I know, we've talked about public affairs. It only increases the enjoyability factor of people's lives. And that's what we're here to do. We say to ourselves, it's a jungle out there. I hear all these stories. I want to live a great life. I want to have the best life I can. We're here to help.
Well, there's some kids having a lot of fun and living their best life and learning more and more responsibility, leadership, and life skills through an organization called FFA. And I know you're familiar with the FFA. Can you enlighten our listeners with those, with that initial and what it stands for?
I'm going to guess that FFA stands for Future Farmers of America.
The Future Farmers of America. And for our listeners in the Midwest, you've probably seen kids in your hometown wear the jackets proud, the FFA jackets. They perform and compete in competitions at state fairs,
right,
and county fairs, whether it's farming or agriculture. These young people are learning so much about the agricultural industry. Most of them, a lot of them, work on their own family farm, and they're learning life skills on how to, you know, grow up in the family business and take over their business someday. And you and I both know, I mean, through a public affairs lens, without farmers, there's no food.
No.
And there's a lot of food deserts in America. There's a lot of health and nutrition aspects to the food we eat. And these kids are learning all about it through the Future Farmers of America. And I wanted to start with this story because I recently worked on a project with a Future Farmers of America chapter to produce some audio for their social media pages, for their national or annual convention, rather, for their annual convention, and for that they could use on their own media in their hometown with this audio content that I'm proud to say Ritz Media was involved with, taking these little interviews from these kids, these high school kids that are in their Future Farmers of America chapter. And we produced this piece of audio. I'd like for you and our listeners to hear it real quick.
Can't wait.
Pretty impressive group of kids. Take a listen.
Hello, I'm Lennon Woods, and I'm the Sentinel from the Southmont FFA chapter.
Hello, I'm Daniel Simpson, the Secretary from Southmont FFA.
I'm Sophia Shannon.
Hello, I'm Cole Rhodes.
I'm Kelsey Thompson.
I'm Ethan Smith.
Hello, I'm Kylie Reeves, President from the Southmont FFA chapter.
What makes Southmont such a great FFA chapter is all the people. All the people really do such amazing things and really try their best to just improve the chapter in any way they can.
I think if someone wants to join FFA, they should do it because it'd be a great way for them to build their leadership. It'd be a great way for them to have fun and learn about agriculture.
FFA students really work together in a lot of different ways to be able to communicate, grow leadership skills, and just see how we can better impact our communities within the area.
We got a very diverse chapter background. We all can learn from each other, the different experiences.
Community service-wise, we've done a lot with highway cleanup, working with local churches.
We all work together on this by going through and participating activities, helping each other out, and just working together to build a foundation just to help the team progress.
I'm really excited for our kickball game with North Montgomery. Everyone's always super excited. That's always our highlight. But another thing that I love doing is our teacher breakfast every year. So in the morning, we'll make breakfast for all of our teachers and we kind of serve them.
FFA's been crucial really to helping me develop as a full person.
All these people work together so well. And we always have so much fun at everything we do, and that really makes Southmont who we are.
Southmont is a unique FFA chapter because it not only focuses on the leadership, but it also teaches us skills that apply to real life and the real world.
Southmont is a really special FFA chapter because of the team-like community that we have. Everybody is super nice to each other, and everybody really wants the best for each other and is always willing to lend a helping hand whenever it's needed.
And then just as a citizen, you know, there's always somebody holding you accountable, so if you're not going to get it done, somebody else else will. So keeping that mentality and keeping that strive for success every day.
I've had the awesome opportunity this year to be an FFA in the USA reporter. So I've got to work with National FFA and been posting about local agriculture on national platforms.
One of the main ones I'm looking forward to is Drive Your Tractor to School Day. I've been pressure washing mine and cleaning it out this week or getting it ready for it. Just doing some final touch-ups.
FFA Week is just a really great opportunity for us to highlight what our chapter's been doing, what FFA means to us, and why it's important in our community.
So very cool.
It is cool.
Super impressive. And my thanks to the kids at with the Southmont FFA chapter for opening up and getting involved with not only their chapter, but with media and sharing their stories with us.
Yeah, two quick things. It's kind of a duh. As the landscape of, you know, what do you do for a living? How do you select your education as you move forward? Isn't it interesting that sometimes we don't think in terms of, hey, we're going to need farmers? Here's a group of kids that are very engaged in farming. And as you pointed out, we all need to eat. So I think it's great because you could say, we're going to need welders. And a bunch of kids would go, I don't want to do any welding. We're going to need farmers. Yeah, forget about that. Here's a group of young people that are saying, hey, I'm engaged. Plus, the guy that alluded to his big tractor, every year I go to the state fair, Adam, in our state, and I love the huge tractor. It's almost like a military vehicle.
Yeah.
It could probably take out a tank. I want to drive that, you know?
Well, that's one of the cool things. We've done this. This was our third year producing this for the Southmont and the Northmont FFA chapters. And they always mention the Drive Your Tractor to School Day and how popular it is.
Heck yeah. And,
I mean, that young man was, he mentioned he's been cleaning his tractor, like power washing it, to get it in shape.
And as I would like to say, it's a variation of the old joke, where do you park your tractor? Anywhere you want.
Anywhere you want. These young adults also talked a lot about leadership, life skills, teamwork, accountability. I mean, these are great attributes to learn at that age.
Was one of the seminars how delicious pork is?
It should be. And if it isn't, we need to work on that.
Yeah. No, I'm joking around, but I am impressed that a group of young, energized young adults are actively involved, because I have seen the Future Farmers of America convention and have been impressed by the numbers through the years, because it's something that you don't tend to think of until you see it in action.
Yeah, if you think about the food and the agriculture that is being taken care of and tended to by American farmers, you think in your mind, you've got this mental image of a, you know, 30 to 50 year old rugged character, cowboy hat on, taking
right.
care of the farm. Well, you don't realize or stop to think about that person, that farmer was 14, 15 years old at some point, and had to decide, this is what I want to get into.
That's right.
And I want to take care of America.
Well, you look at John Dutton from the Yellowstone
yeah.
Ranch. He's a rugged individual.
Yeah.
He and Rip, they would love the Future Farmers of America.
I think Rip would have kicked butt with the Future Farmers of America.
I think so. Can you imagine? What do you want to be, a farmer or Rip? Both,
I
sir.
Think, can you imagine Rip on Drive Your Tractor to School Day?
Wouldn't that be great?
He would run over the principal's car with his.
He definitely would. That's funny.
One of the things that was mentioned in one of the recordings that we didn't air was what these kids are talking about is FFA Week. So mm-hmm. through the course of the year, they get ready for this FFA Week, where there's competitions. There's even like public speaking competitions, ag competitions, biggest pumpkin competitions. Here's the livestock competition, livestock judging. They do a lot of livestock judging as well and learn how to do that. They have breakfast for the teachers, which I think is a great way to pay back the time and energy that the teachers do off the clock to help with these kids. And the other thing they did that was not mentioned in that piece, but I have it in another piece of audio, is they have a live ag animal scavenger hunt in their high school.
How does that work?
So they take a livestock animal.
Right.
And they hide it in the school. And the first person to find the school wins a prize from the ag teacher.
Wow.
So when that young man explained that, I was trying to have the mental image. Okay, is this like, you know, a baby goat in a cage that's like in the custodial closet? Or are you talking about like a longhorn cattle?
Yeah, like or there's a bull? A steer wandering the hall.
And if the bigger the animal, the shorter the contest, because someone's going to find it a lot easier.
He's being followed by the janitor who's cleaning up after said steer. That's pretty amazing.
That scavenger hunt, yeah, as you say, could get a little messy in the hallway. So my thanks again to the Northmont and Southmont FFA chapters for chiming in and letting us know the good work they've been up to. The other thing I learned, Jay, is that it's hard to say FFA quickly in a conversation because you get caught up and you trip over your mouth and you just end up saying FFA. When I was working with the FFA. So you really have to, before we started the show, I had to practice because we were going to talk about the FFA.
Absolutely. All I know is they have great jackets. Have you noticed
they
that?
Do.
They have the best.
And now you'll keep your eye out and you'll know what we're talking about when you see a future farmer of America in their proud, really a letter jacket. It's their version of the letter jacket.
Well, it's funny. I was on a writing assignment with a company regarding the use of agriculture statewide here in the Midwest. And it is fascinating, as you might imagine, the tillable land that's available in every community. And that's why when you drive down the road, you may say to yourself, wow, they squeezed a soybean field in here or squeezed corn in here. We're very fortunate in our country in that we can grow just about any kind of crop. Now, we are more corn and soybean centric, and I know this from working on this project, but it is going to be the future of these youngsters to create more than just monoculture, which means, you know, can we bring back huge groves of fruit trees and vegetable varieties and different things like that. It's kind of an exciting time for farming, actually.
That it is. All right. Thank you again, Future Farmers of America.
Mark Cohn he's the Walking in Memphis guy. Remember him?
Yeah, I do remember that name. What did he do recently?
He revealed that he was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease.
That's right.
5 years ago. Now, he says, I waited this long to tell you about the diagnosis because I needed time to process the unsettling news for myself. But the good news is this. I'm doing everything I can to stave off Parkinson's progression. And with those efforts, I have been able to continue playing shows for you all. The reason why I bring this up, I have a personal sort of, I have a little bit of personal pride in this, in that I too was diagnosed with Parkinson's. It's incurable, unfortunately. They always say it will not alter the length of your life, but it will alter how you live your life.
Mm-hmm.
But I do enjoy hearing about somebody that steps forward and says, yeah, I'm not going to let this totally stop how I lead my life. You know, famously or infamously, Michael J. Fox is perhaps the most visible person with Parkinson's. But here's what's interesting. There's a number of musicians that you may or may not know have Parkinson's, including Ozzy Osbourne.
I did not know that.
He has Parkinson's. And been the one, as he has aged, and, you know, Ozzy has led the most amazing life. To give you a little footnote to Ozzy, he recently was inducted into the Rock Hall of Fame as a solo artist following his induction a few years ago as the lead singer of Black Sabbath. So he's one of a handful now of musicians that are in as a solo artist as well as their band work with previous bands.
Stevie Nicks.
Yes.
Is in twice.
Fleetwood Mac.
With Fleetwood Mac.
Yes, absolutely. So Ozzy Osbourne has Parkinson's disease, as does Neil Diamond.
Now, I I'm not going to say I knew that, but I'm not surprised by that because I knew he has been having a lot of health issues. He's been out of the public eye for quite some time.
He's had some health issues. Linda Ronstadt?
Who is your what's your favorite Neil Diamond song? Wait, before we get to Linda.
Oh, Sweet Caroline.
Sweet Caroline.
Yeah.
That's the anthem.
Yeah.
Bop, bop, bop.
Yeah. Well, it's been sung by so many people that have taken it over. Famously, I think the English national team, the English national soccer team, sings Sweet Caroline from Neil Diamond. Neil's probably from Philadelphia. I'd have to check. But all of a sudden, these guys in England are going, I'll take it over.
Bop, bop, bop. How do you say bop, bop, bop with an English accent? You know, you didn't say Turn On Your Heart Light from E.T. I thought you might say that.
That's a wonderful song. E.T. E.T. Call Home. I just saw Drew Barrymore in that SNL 50th anniversary special. And she just so casually mentioned... like you said, E.T., and you forget, she was an important part of E.T. I think she was 8 years old at the time.
Yeah, yeah, that's one of her first.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Thank goodness her parents were famous and got her into the biz.
Absolutely. Also on the Parkinson's list, Linda Ronstadt.
Again, I'm not going to say I knew that. I did not, but I knew she has been having health issues as well. I just saw a documentary about her a few years ago where she had announced that she was going to stop touring and stop singing. Not just stop touring, but stop singing.
I will say this. Everybody's Parkinson's experience is slightly different. When we began this show, I had made the mistake of listening to some political rhetoric on the radio and having a long day. And I kind of felt to myself, I'm not going to be able to do the show today. Now we're doing the show and I feel fine. So the phraseology that, well, this Mark Cohen said it perfectly. He said, some nights have been more difficult than others, but there are moments of healing and deep gratitude for my ability to stand at the microphone and continue to do the job I love so much. So isn't it interesting? You know, this is the great limiter, but there are times you go, man, I feel totally alive. Yeah. So I know I sound like I'm rambling here, but it is interesting that this is a very personal experience for all these individuals. And I've appreciated everybody that stepped forward because it's been, quite frankly, difficult for me. I've been able to talk about it freely on this radio show, but in my personal circle, I don't bring it up very much.
And your closest friends, how did they talk to you about it?
Well, here's what's funny. My absolute closest friends love Disney World so much. So what we do is to sort of break through the fog of Parkinson's, we go to Disney a couple times a year. And once again, it's the most magical place on the planet. I mean, I may be talking out of turn because they're not a sponsor, but you go, okay, this feels good. And I know that sounds simplistic, but that's sort of the way my closest friends are like, hey, this is bad, but let's go to Disney.
It is fun for me to hear that the conversation we had pre-show before the mics were on, you were so animated and hot about political issues.
Well, and I've heard always recommended.
You'd heard on your car radio driving into the studio today, and then just a few seconds later, you're a little boy at Magic Kingdom.
Well, as we've always said, and this has been our recommendation, for those of you who have enjoyed our show through the years, and we do appreciate our listeners, we have said famously, during the holidays, do not bring up the following topics. And religion, politics, and a couple of others are on that list. There's a reason you don't want to bring them up. You're only going to get in a very agitated state.
And if you do get into that agitated state, the best thing you could do is listen to a family-friendly public affairs radio show to bring you back to center.
It enriches your life. So, yes. So thank you, Mark Cohn, for stepping forward. And thank you for artists like Ozzy. It is difficult for them as they take their Parkinson's journey. But, you know, we're going to get to the point as we continue to do more research, more money is raised. The only thing that's probably vexing the most about Parkinson's is there is no immediate cure. There's ways to mm-hmm. cope, but no cure.
I think the surprising thing about Ozzy is that he his physical appearance and the way he carries himself for decades has been an absolute unpredictable, inhumane alien from outer space. Such a I don't want to say whack job, but he is just so out there that when he took on the physical characteristics of having Parkinson's disease, I didn't even really know. I didn't notice, I guess.
Well, here's what's interesting. And everybody, you know, has a different path in life. I love to read, so I have read. There are no fewer than 2 Ozzy autobiographies and I think at least 4, if not 5, Ozzy biographies. One of the biographies talked very candidly that in England, they have the National Institute of Health, the NIH. They wanted to study Ozzy because on paper, all the things that Ozzy has done to himself, he shouldn't even be alive. I mean, we're saying it somewhat comically because, you know, this is a guy, he's a rock star. He's done all the rock star things.
Mm-hmm.
But you're absolutely correct with NIH studying his overall health combined with the fact that he has a loving family, a loving spouse. He's had this great support that then when he got Parkinson's, outside of being able to move around, he has coped with it extremely well.
And when you say that they want to study him in the way he's lived his life, I don't even think about the drugs and the alcohol.
Right.
The first thing that comes into mind that could affect your health
yes.
is biting the head off of a bat.
It could alter your health.
There might be some, I don't know if rabies are the least of his problems. That's something that the National Health Institute would want to study to see how is this guy still alive.
I dearly love Ozzy. Ironically, the man is from Birmingham, England, and Birmingham may be, at least for those of us in North America, the least able to understand dialect of all the United Kingdom, you know, because you know how it is when you were a kid, the very first time you heard a native speaker from Great Britain, you were like, wow, what a great accent.
Great accent.
Or you'd hear an interview with, you know, hey, we've got, somebody from the Rolling Stones. Hey, everybody.
Yeah.
It's me, Keith, you know, and the very first time you heard those. Birmingham, barely discernible, but of interest with Ozzy is he's kept his sense of humor, and outside of some mobility issues, he's actually done well and continues to heal up. He famously had, did you read about, he had famously had some all-terrain vehicle crashes. They had a large patch of property in Los Angeles. And he and his son, Jack Osborne, would go out and ride these, you know, four-wheel quads. And apparently Ozzy had a huge accident where he flies off some hill and then the quad lands on him.
That does ring a bell.
Yeah, and that didn't do him a lot of favors.
That probably didn't help.
Yeah, I will just tell you, if you've got Parkinson's, you don't want to hurt yourself.
No. In that accent, I've always heard the deepest most difficult British accent to understand is very similar to a deep, what we would call a hillbilly Southern American accent. So if you listen to Ozzy speak or Boomhauer from King of the Hill, it's the same. Not you know,
those
gobbledygook.
Two could work together.
Ozzy is Boomhauer.
He is,
and Boomhauer is Ozzy.
Yeah, and you can go forward from our show and say, I never knew that the Birmingham accent is the most difficult
to master,
or, you know, discern with your ear.
And
there you go.
And then the craziest thing is when he speaks, you can't understand a word he says.
Oh,
but then
yeah.
when he sings, it's just perfectly clear English.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So recent Hall of Famer, a gentleman who is dealing with Parkinson's. And here's a great story. Verizon announced that it had erased $10 million in consumer debt for 6,500 people that live in Western North Carolina. As you know, so many of these storm relief stories have reared their heads. We recently had a number of stories about LA wildfire relief. Mm-hmm. This one is a partnership with a nonprofit organization called Forgive Co., and it's meant to help families still struggling in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene. You know, we've kind of moved on, but there have been a couple of disasters, Adam, in our United States where, you know, the need is still very real.
And I like hearing that big corporations are stepping up to help the victims of those disasters.
Absolutely. The forgiven debts include medical, financial, and other essential expenses, providing much-needed relief to families and individuals affected by the storm.
Well, that is an even more amazing little tidbit of that story. When you said Verizon has stepped up to erase debt, I thought you were just talking about cell phone bills or internet bills or communication debt.
Yeah.
They're stepping up for any debt, including medical debt.
Yeah, they combined with this nonprofit ForgiveCo. Many recipients were notified through letters, emails, and text messages. This donation is in addition to $400,000 Verizon gave to the United Way of North Carolina for the initial Hurricane Helene efforts. So I love to toot the horn of some of our corporate shareholders out there
for certain
that are taking care of the people. You know, it's a great story. Now, Adam, you know, you and I know we're doing a national show. We have a national reach. We have a national audience. Our audience relies on us to help them stay safe. Well, there's a reason the phrase buyer beware is still a thing.
Would you buy?
Well, you're going to love this. A gentleman by the name of Sylvester Franklin ordered a new drill and a pressure washer from a company, and we've heard this name, and we were going to take this name in vain, AliExpress. Have you heard of this company before?
No, Ali?
AliExpress. They're Chinese-based, and it's not to pick on Chinese businesses, but this particular business sadly has a long history of fraud and some other issues. After our friend Sylvester Franklin ordered his new drill and pressure washer. Now, he paid $40, so that should have been his first clue that something was not right. But in the mail only came a picture of the drill and a picture of the power washer. He reported it to the deep discount retailer, but still hasn't heard back. So I do not want to pick on Sylvester Franklin. I do not want to pick necessarily on AliExpress. But you and I know a new drill and a pressure washer from any home improvement store in your town is going to cost way more than $40. Buyer beware, but buyer beware with some facts.
Yeah, you know, red flag. If it seems too good to be true, it might be too good to be true.
Yes, absolutely. There are a number of things too good to be true.
I feel bad
to be that way.
I feel bad. I did chuckle a little bit when you said his name, Sylvester Franklin. I apologize, Mr. Franklin. I don't know why that just caught my fancy and it gave me a chuckle.
I feel that his problems are a learning tool for other Americans.
And his tool has helped us sharpen our tools in our toolbox. So buyer beware for sure. AliExpress, I'm going to look that up or I'm not. Maybe I shouldn't.
Maybe you shouldn't.
All right, Jay, appreciate you coming on. Let's give you some love. What is your Twitter account again?
At Jay Baker.
At Jay Baker.
Baker Voice.
At Jay Baker Voice.
Yes.
I want to encourage our listeners to give you an at mention or a tweet to support you through this Parkinson's journey that you're on. So if you're listening and you do X or Twitter, get on there and at mention at Jay Baker Voice and show him some love.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.